Father in heaven, I ask that you would anoint my lips, that I would be faithful in proclaiming your word and truly looking forward and being shaped by the knowledge of the second coming of your Son, in whose holy name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes when I come to a text of Scripture, I have more questions than I have answers. And that is certainly true of Mark 13. And in case you don't have any questions whatsoever about this text, well, let me state some of my questions about our Lord's statements. Hopefully and prayerfully, this homily will be a learning experience in that it is okay to say, I don't know how to interpret some things in Scripture. I take comfort from the fact, like the likes of Derek Thomas has said a few times in his lecture, when I get to heaven and I have the chance to ask the Apostle Paul, what did you mean by that? I was utterly confused about what you wrote. If a learned and a respected instructor in God's Word has questions, it's all right for the rest of us to occasionally wonder about the meaning of some passages in Holy Scripture. So my first point is Jesus Christ's sovereignty, hidden. Jesus says this as is recorded in Mark 13:32. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now these words are perplexing. And in case they're not yet, I'll inform you why I think they're perplexing. One of the central teachings of Scripture is that Jesus is God. One of the basic attributes of each person of the Trinity is that they are all-knowing. And here we have Jesus saying, I don't know the time of my second coming. As a principle of interpreting Scripture, we must accept the clear teaching of Scripture, in this case, that Jesus is fully God, fully man. We do not allow a question about Christ's words about the limitations of his knowledge to overturn the clear teaching of his divine identity. There are certainly limitations that our Lord placed upon himself as he became human. And that alone is foreign to us. We don't place limitations on our knowledge. We struggle to gain knowledge. How do you take away knowledge or limit your knowledge? But we hear these words of Jesus saying that he does not know the time of his second coming, and that is a bit perplexing in regard to his divinity. But I think one partial answer, and I emphasize partial answer to this issue is that the Lord Jesus Christ in his divine human existence is that he did place limitations upon himself. Just as Jesus, in reference to his humanity, could not be everywhere at once. He could only be one place at a time. And in regard to his divine identity, Jesus could be present in London and Jerusalem and Moscow all at the same time. Now, of course, does that twist our brains? Yeah, of course it does. We can't grasp that. In the same way, we hear these words of Luke about the Lord in Luke 2:52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We know from infancy, childhood, and adulthood, Jesus matured and grew in wisdom. This included our Lord going through the normal process of learning language, social skills, how to build things. The one huge difference between how we mature and how Jesus matured is that his growth never involved sin, as it does with us. Let us not forget the clear teaching of Christ's deity. In John 14:9, Jesus says about himself, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Philippians 2:10 and 11, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Let me get a very specific application of Christ's teaching about our spiritual preparation for his second coming. The certainty of Christ's return and the uncertainty of its exact time gives us the strongest motivation to stay awake and to keep alert. Unlike the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, our Lord's second advent at the end of time will not be predictable by clearly observable signs. Many of these signs that Jesus speaks about in Mark 13, such as wars and rumors of wars, persecution of Christians, the presence of false messiahs, earthquakes and famines, and the worldwide evangelism and growth of the Christian church have happened throughout the 2,000-year period since Jesus gave them. There's nothing unique about them. There's false messiahs in every generation. There's earthquakes in every generation. There's wars and rumors of wars in every generation. And so while he talks about them, they're true throughout the history of the church. All the more reason why we need to keep alert. Christ tells us three times in Mark 13, 33, 35, and 37, keep on the alert, be on the alert. We must always be ready for our Lord's return whenever that happens. And yet no one knows exactly when that will happen. In the lived experience of the Christians who suffered the destruction of the temple, they had only hoped that the Lord would return. This is the case when a country, civilization, and culture is struggling to survive after the collapse of authority and have witnessed massive death by war, famine, and hunger. Because when the Romans surrounded Jerusalem, the way they defeated Jerusalem in such an easy fashion is that they blocked the walls around Jerusalem so that no food could get into the city. When you do that long enough, people die of starvation. So by the time you enter in, people are in no condition to defend themselves. The Jewish people living in Jerusalem teetered on the edge of extinction. They barely survived this ordeal as a people. For many who did survive to only witness their own people blame one another and turn against one another. For the non-Christian Jews blamed the Christian Jews for not fighting with them against the Romans. They blame Christians for the demise and defeat of Jerusalem. Christians hearing our Lord's words in Mark 13, when they saw the Roman army marching towards Jerusalem, fled from the city towards Pella. Eusebius, a church historian in the 4th century, recounts this in his book of church history, that, quote, that the Jewish followers of Jesus heeded his warning and fled to Pella for safety before Jerusalem's destruction. We ask ourselves, what does Jesus' words about the warning of the destruction of Jerusalem have to do with the 21st century? And it's simple. Just as Jerusalem's destruction came upon many unexpectedly, so does our death, and so does the end of human history when Jesus comes for the living and the dead. And the two parallel each other. When we die individually, we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. If we happen to be living in the last generation, we won't die. Jesus will come again, but we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. And so whether it's by death or Christ's second coming, we need to be prepared. And the only way to do that is to trust in Christ alone for salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. We also need to serve the Lord right now because we have been redeemed by the Lord and forgiven by his grace. Brings me to my second point. Christ, Jesus Christ's sovereignty is real. Mark 13, 26 and 27 say this, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth his angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven." This passage speaks of the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. In Scripture, when it speaks of God coming in the clouds, this is a significance of God's divine presence. While Christ's first coming was characterized by suffering and humiliation by Christ, our Lord's second coming will be an open, universal revelation of his divine glory. This display of God's glory coming in the clouds happened in the Old Testament when the Lord displayed his glory on Mount Sinai with the giving of a law. There were dark clouds, and the people heard the voice of God thundering forth. Jesus is also hearkening back to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, which says this, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Then all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." These are reasons within this text which bolsters one's confidence that Jesus is the Christ, and his words can and should be trusted in given their proper weight and reverence. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus told his disciples, after they had commented on the beauty of the temple, Jesus then predicted the destruction of the temple in Mark 13, 2. "Do you see these great buildings?" he said. "Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." He was asked by his disciples, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" Within this same generation, the apostles who heard these words, that generation witnessed the destruction of the temple and of the whole city, thus showing that Christ's words of prediction came to be true. As Jesus himself said in this passage, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Kingdoms and rulers come and go just as we do, and yet the word of the Lord stands true forever and ever. Not one of his words will ever fail because he is the coming King. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Christ comes again with power and great glory, he will bring his angels with him and gather his people from the four winds and the farthest end of the earth. This is a poetic way of affirming that God's people come from all over the world, from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And that's why Jesus Christ is delaying his second coming, so he can gather his saints together, one person at a time, one generation at a time, and bring them into his kingdom. We must heed Jesus' warnings to be on the alert, to believe in him as Lord and Savior, by following his teaching, by looking to him who always taught the truth and always followed the will of his heavenly Father, leading him all the way to the cross. Now unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, help us to be prepared to face trials and troubles, but most of all, to be prepared to see you, whether at our death or at your second coming. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be guided into deeper love and obedience to Christ as Lord. This we ask in Christ's holy name. Amen.